my daughter's face. She was also lost. I never held her either. Did I have an answer? Only at the end of life comes death. And after death, we come home to the Lord. How long the first shall last, we cannot see. Come. We shall ask my daughter to look for yours in heaven. Again, she will find her there.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a loss that is gone. Say, could that loss be I? Mary of souls, she said.
Of Outlander Cast for season 6. Super excited to have you here. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
It sure is.
I was in on that episode. I was in. Spoiler alert.
We are here for it.
In on it.
So excited to, of course, be able to chat about this episode. I agree. I think it was an amazing episode. Love me some wee Ian. And you know, Ian got told goodbye again.
I know.
Goodbye, Ian.
Poor kid. Sorry. If you guys can't hear it, Mary and I have been very sick. Actually, we talked about it on the listener feedback episode last one. By the way, there was some confusion about the listener feedback for episode 2. I fixed that, so it's
Thank
all
you.
Set. It's all on the feeds. Everything is there. So if you didn't get a chance to hear it, it is there. You're ready to listen to listener feedback 2. Listener feedback 3, we talked about how sick we were, and we are still well on the road to recovery. I mean,
it is a long road.
It's been a long road. Yeah. So like
we're still on it.
The path is well worn. It's just that it's a long freaking path.
Yeah. And we don't know like what to do. So welcome to our life. Anyway, so little recap about this episode. So we're talking tonight about episode 604 of Outlander. I did not pull up the TV guide notes. So here we go. This is the episode where we learn about Ian's losses of his children. When he was actively in the Mohawk tribe, and about his relationship with his wife, who he gave the name Emily to, and he and
to Jean, whom he gave the name Emily.
Whatevs, man, hey, stats are for nerds. Give it right back to you. yeah, see, karma.
It is karma.
It is karma. I know.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
Sorry, ladies and gents.
So anyway. And he and Jamie go now in the present time to the Cherokee to deliver some guns. And he and Jamie are able to share with each other the losses that they've had. And
yes.
Then Malva's creepy.
Oh, Dakota Fanning weird.
There you go.
This is like super Dakota Fanning
weird. So, all right. So before we get into this entire show discussion, a couple of things we want to make sure you know about. First and foremost, friends on Instagram, the best way to stay connected to us is to make sure that you are following the Mary and Blake page on Instagram and Facebook. Facebook and YouTube are where the biggest parties are at when it comes to live chatting.
Oh, yeah.
So I also have a complimentary texting list. So friends in the keyboards, if you don't mind, do me a favor. And if you're listening to this podcast, you can always join. If you're in the U.S., you text the phone number 81010, just five numbers, five digits. And in the message field, it's the @@ClanFraser. So any and all of you can join that in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., and if someone in the keyboards wouldn't mind writing this down for me, it's remind.com/join/ClanFraser. And this is a complimentary texting service. So I let you know when we're going live because it really does vary depending upon how sick we might be or if our kids are sleeping or not. And I also let you know when our listener feedback episode is up if we haven't yet gone live. Mm-hmm. So before anything else, we want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com for making any and all of this possible. If this show brings you joy, please think about joining. It's as little as $2 a month, and it truly goes to support us. If you like to support your local coffee shops, you know, the mom and pop stores, this is a mom and pop podcast, and your contributions go a long way. All right, let's get into the show.
Well, Marvin, this was an episode.
Sure was.
This was an episode. And of course, we get into all the great nerdy details that Mary just absolutely loves. Loves talking about this stuff.
I love this part of it because I can lean back. Nobody has to watch me.
Yeah, that's true. She can just look on her phone and do whatever she's got to do. All eyes on me, which, of course, that's what they should be. It's fine. The title of this episode was Hour of the Wolf, which is a fantastic title because obviously it's talking about Ian and the amulet, if you will, that he was given, and how that was the clan for Emily, his ex-wife. Is that a fair statement?
Sure,
why not? Okay. But also, this episode was literally an hour. It was 60 minutes, this episode.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
It was like the writers knew what they were doing, you know? No. So yeah, I really like this episode title. As Outlander has been wont to do, it's been doing very well at its episode titles, especially as of late. For like the past two seasons, it's been really good. The writer was Luke Skelhas. You should know that name because he's been around with Outlander now as a producer and as a writer since season three, really. But he's only written episodes from season three, the end of it, all the way till now. He's written Heaven and Earth, The Bakra, Wilmington, The Deep Heart's Core, Between Two Fires, Free Will, and obviously now this one. And it's great that actually The Bakra is mentioned in this episode. So I think that's Luke Skelhas pumping his own tires there a little bit. Just being like, oh yeah, I remember that other episode I wrote the other
Why
day.
Not?
Yeah, I wrote Why that not? One too. Sure, I'll put that in here. The director was Christiana Ebowan Green. She has directed episodes of television including Call the Midwife, Bleeder, Grantchester, The Majorca Files, and Vera. Those are the – we're seeing actually a little bit of a through line with some of the directors here. Most of them have actually directed episodes of Call the Midwife. So I wonder if there is a new producer that has joined or someone that has joined the staff that has this inroad with Call the Midwife and actually Grantchester as well. We're seeing a lot of that. See, again, this is the reason why we talk about the directors. Mm. This is the reason why we talk about the writers, because there are these connections. Mm-hmm. There are these little fibers that connect everybody together, and you understand the styles and why certain things are the way that they are. It's important. See, Mary, I know you don't like this stuff, but trust me, it's important.
It's not that I don't like it.
It's important. And we need to do it. So okay. that's the idea. What do you got for your kilt rating, my love?
Okay, friends who are joining us live, we would love to hear your kilt ratings. Our kilt ratings, of course, are on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being bleh, 5 being this was amazing. My kilt rating is a big old 5.
Yes, okay.
Big old 5.
All right. For me, I'm giving this one a 4.5. This is actually the best episode of the season so far.
You are such a harsh grader. I'm so glad you didn't actually follow your original career hopes in college and become a teacher.
Oh, yeah. No, the kids would have hated
you. You would have been the teacher who's like, an average is a C. That would have been your teacher philosophy.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, I would have hated that.
Yep, that's absolutely
right. So just everyone know, keep that in mind, that this is Blake's highest one.
Think of a 5-episode, right? A 5-episode would have been like of Outlander.
For you.
Would have been Dragonfly and Amber. Okay, mm-hmm. Or The Battle Joined. Okay, this episode is good. It's no Battle Joined. It's no Dragonfly and Amber. Okay, so again, we're looking in context.
Okay.
But it's a good episode. I enjoy it. As I just said, best episode of the season so far.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
Awesome sauce.
So yeah, that's that. All right, and you know what, actually? This is the first episode directed by an African-American woman in Outlander.
Really?
Yes. This is the first episode. I actually wrote that down.
You're
just specifically
have to
for
message her.
I know. I can't wait.
I'd love to interview her.
I would absolutely love that.
If anyone
too.
Has a contact for her, that'd be amazing.
So, all right, let's get into the GBG. Marvin, right. You're good. You're bad. You're right.
Once again, friends joining in live, we would love to hear your GBGs. So my good for this episode was Jamie telling Ian about Faith.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just, that you for me. It. Yes, yes. my bad, once again, nitpicky. It's the one Mohawk that is speaking to Ian, not everybody wanted you to go.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, is it just the interpretation? Like, are they trying to show that, you know, English not being a primary language, that sometimes it's hard? But I don't know. I watched it a few times and I just felt no real oomph to it, and kind of made me feel like some of the moments in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone where you can tell the director had to just say the line and have them act it out. So I just didn't feel... It just took me out of the moment where I felt like it was like, mah, 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 mah. Sure. So that was my one bad. But once again, very nitpicky and small because I gave this episode a 5. So don't hang me for that moment. And then my great is the general view of male miscarriage and loss. For listeners who don't know, Blake and I suffered 2 miscarriages last year. One in the winter of 2021 and the one in the summer of 2021. And both of them were just devastating, beyond belief. And so I have tried to be very cognizant of when speaking about the losses, saying that it was our loss. Mm-hmm. And I've had a few people who said, thank you for using the word our, even when it comes to infertility, like we have an infertility journey or a you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Because that it is the couple's loss. And I think very frequently, media showcases women during miscarriages and the trauma. And obviously, like, I'm not saying you went through everything that I went through because it was a very different level physically and hormonally, but I really appreciated having male insight both from Ian and from Jamie about the losses, because also they weren't able to even meet their daughters.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the same sense, like, you didn't get to be a physical part of my loss, you know, the physical part of the losses that happened. One of them had to be surgically taken care of, and one of them I lost here at home. But, you know, it is a different experience. And yet I really applaud the voices of Ian and Jamie in showing how it can still severely affect the partner.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for just bringing that to the forefront, because...
Hi, guys. We just had 2 miscarriages last year, and this episode was really hard.
Yes, it was. And Mary is right. Of course, you know, a male does not go through the physical pain that... You know, I did not go through the physical stuff that my wife went through, but I certainly went through a bunch of emotional stuff, and that is very hard, and it's difficult. And I'm glad, as you said, Mary, that Outlander was able to portray that in its own way with Ian. In this
and
episode.
I think that, you know, this is an ongoing theme with Outlander. In the last episode, we talked about how Outlander is able to bring about discussions about disabilities, and how now there's other discussions about mental illnesses and how people struggle with it. And so I applaud Dinah Gabaldon and I applaud Stars and these actors for portraying things that are not necessarily shown and talked about.
Sure, sure. So for me, this episode, like I said, it was a 4.5. I really liked this episode. And when I first started watching it, I'm like, wow, what a curious choice to make this the center point of the season, right? The center point, the one where the emotional drama should be at its highest. It's where everything turns in this series. We are no longer being introduced to the characters, to the settings, to the to some of the conflicts. It's like, okay, this is when it kicks into full gear. And yet, here they are, spending this time in the past with Ian, and they're taking it from Ian's, like, they're taking Ian's story and making that the center of attention. Mm-hmm. What an interesting choice. And by interesting, I meant, like, I seriously was thinking,
not great, Bob.
But then at the end of the episode, I looked at it and I said, oh, I get it. I get what they did here.
What did they do, Blake?
They rooted the turn, the emotional turn of what's coming. Mm-hmm. They rooted it in the relationship between Ian and Jamie.
Yes.
And what that means going forward, but also they rooted the political turn, and they rooted the emotional and plot turn in this episode. And that is a very special touch. That you have to weave that, you have to walk that line and tread that line very carefully. Because when you turn something so quickly in an episode that doesn't really have to do a whole ton with the plot that you have going forward, yikes, man.
But one can argue, you know, that these episodes are all highlighting depth to the next generation of characters. You know, we've had so much depth with Roger and him finding his voice and taking on this role on the ridge and kind of saving the day and being the big brother. And we highlighted Bree, not as much yet, but mm-hmm. Bree has been sprinkled in really as the future person.
Yeah.
And then we, of course, had Fergus and Marcelie, huge focus. And now we get the Ian, and they're sprinkling in, of course, Lizzie and Malva and this younger generation. And what I particularly love about it is we have had Claire and Jamie sex every single episode. Ooh, this one twice.
Twice.
Actually, I mean, they probably did it more during that day. You know, and he was like, whatever. Major McDonald can keep sneezing. It's fine.
So what I want to say, though, is my good, because because we're already 16 minutes into this bad boy. Sorry. So like I haven't even started
you keep
my
going. GBG I'm just going to keep putting hot tea against my aching jaw.
No, she's not doing a promotional video, ladies and gents. This is
a side effect of long COVID.
All right. So my good is the conversation, like you said, Mary, between Ian and Jamie when they're talking about Faith and Ishabel. Wow. Wow. What a scene. Everything about that is just special. Again, like I said in the listener feedback episode for Temperance, this is that moment that when I see the phrase "Hour of the Wolf," mm-hmm. this is the thing that I'm going to think of. I will know 4 seasons from now or 4 years from now this moment in this episode, because it is very special, and I'm really appreciating seeing Jamie in this role, not as like the, you know, the young buck, the person who is, you know, the wild kind of carefree person, but like this knowing and well tempered and wise father type. Oh my God. Mary just spilled so much Drambuie all over her. There's just so much booze on her clothes. Oh, man, all I smell now is just Dram.
I'm just going to cover this side. That's why you wear a kilt. That's why you wear a tartan, actually. There we go.
Oh, man. So I just really loved that moment. All right. Just bestill my heart that moment. Like, really super awesome. The other, I have a tie for the good. So the other good that I have is the cinematography in this episode was really special, but it's not just the cinematography. It's the coloring, the colorizing of this episode, especially when it comes to the memories that Ian's talking about. They desaturated all the color for the memories. So if you recall, they did something similar in seasons 1 and 2, where they desaturated the 40s and they really pumped up the colorization of the 1700s.
And the Frank.
Right.
My expectations were low to begin with.
And you met them.
And you met them.
So that dichotomy is really special, and it's a great visual cue for the viewer to know. Okay, not only is this separate from what I was watching earlier, but it whenever I see this desaturated thing from now on, I know like the transference, right? I know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really special touch. My bad. I have a 3-way tie for bad. Okay. The dueling with Scotchy or whatever the guy's name is, the beard, like the guy that looked like
You didn't recognize who it was until I
felt
started.
I felt like he was a mix between like Kelsey Grammer.
Oh.
And then also Kelsey Grammer with a beard.
But like Robin Williams when he's in Jumanji. When he's in Fresh from the Forest of Jumanji.
Or Good Will Hunting. Like,
yes.
Like it's like a halfway between those two. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mary pointed that out. I was out on that whole story. I was out on the dueling. Even though I was thinking 10 Dual Commandments the entire time.
Number one.
I felt like it was there to create drama.
Which of the 10 Dual Commandments did they not do? We will elaborate later. Continue.
They did the 7th one. They turned around too early. They didn't do the 7th one. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have their seconds.
They didn't have their seconds. That's true. Good mm-hmm. point.
They didn't have a doctor.
Didn't have a doctor.
No.
You know, see, they didn't do it in Jersey. That's the problem.
It's because it was pre-Hamilton, so they didn't have
a
song.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't have reference.
Yeah, it's not 1776 yet.
It felt like it was shoehorned in there. And I just wish instead of Ian coming to like this realization because of this duel, that after the fight that he had with his supposed brother, like that he just came to that conclusion. He didn't need this duel in there. It just felt cheap. Mm-hmm. The other one was, hey, Uncle Jamie, would you have fought harder for Auntie Claire? Like, would you have left? And Jamie's like, yeah, that's different. What? What do you mean it's not the same?
Ian knows she traveled through time.
Doesn't matter. Emily is this guy's Claire. When I heard that, I took it like, I know, but what Claire and I have is different. It's different. You can't expect you to be like that.
I agree. I don't think that was really nice of him to say.
We
can all say it in our heads. It can be like, yeah, but Jamie would have fought a little harder.
Oh.
We can all say that in our heads, but you're right. For Jamie to say that out loud,
it's not the same,
that's
kid.
When you go and you're like, Jamie, I'm surprised Ian didn't say, didn't you marry leg hair?
Yeah, like...
Now, granted, Claire was already through the stones in the future.
Whatever.
I mean, but
stats of the nerds.
But that's it. He fought to have her go. He let her go.
That's fine.
Why is it any different?
Because what I'm saying is there is no reason why Jamie should have said that's different. There's none. 0.0 reason why it, excuse me, it, it took away.
I wonder if he told him I wonder if he knows the entire story about, we tried to send her back and then she came back to me. And then we did send her when she was pregnant with our second baby. I don't know if he knows everything.
Yep. Well,
that'd be a great
a bunch of people in the chat here are saying, well, she told him to go. Doesn't matter.
Emily,
if you love somebody, you work hard. You work hard and you do whatever it takes. I don't care if she told you to go.
No, you're already married. Yeah, but she gets to pick a different one. She gets to make a little new wolf.
You know what
wolf?
It is? You know what it was? I'm kind of take-cornered. You want to know why?
Why?
Because when Bree told Roger to take a hike, I smoked Roger for that choice when he did. He's like, all right, you want me to go? Fine. And then I was out on that choice. So I'm out on this choice, and I'm out on Jamie saying, nah, it's different. I don't like that. I don't like that. The other bad that I have, it is, and it's not bad.
You just think that it was kind of like a move that Ian could sit there and be like, thanks a lot, Uncle Jamie. She was my Claire.
Okay. The other bad that I have, and it's not bad or anything with the episode, it was just Emily. Dude, that girl.
What? She's stunning.
Diabolical. She's just like, yeah, you're out. You're out. See you later. See you later, Ian. Bye, Ian. She gave him the literal bye, Ian.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, I'm moving on to the next guy. And then like that same day, she's handing the brother like food and nice smiles and everything.
You know, she made him a little bracelet or a little wolf thing.
Oh.
She told her friend, maybe her older sister, who, she just said, go take Ian to the woods. I packed him 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah. My great, I also have a tie, when Emily gives Ian the wolf amulet, and it's not necessarily that she gives him the wolf amulet, it's that the information that we get afterwards from the brother, that is women choose the men. Mm-hmm. And that totally redefines that entire interaction so that when Ian looks down and sees the wolf, not only is he understanding what that meant at that moment and it gets recontextualized for him, it does for us. So we feel as the viewers the same exact thing that Ian did in that moment.
Yeah.
Such a great moment to have it and then think, oh yeah, it's this cute little thing. Yay, gave him a present. No. You know what that
meant?
It's your
engagement ring.
You just got engaged, bro.
You just got married.
You got married until she's going to kick you out. But still, you just got married.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great moment. And the way that it was delivered, like we're learning along with him. And that is exposition done right.
It's basically like the scene when the trolls in Frozen are getting ready to marry Kristoff and Anna.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, wait, what?
You're getting married.
Oh, it just redefines that whole moment. And and it made that moment that much more special, even as it was already gone. And it was just that moment of memory. It everything that happens for Ian in that moment happens for us as the viewer. And that is what draws us into the story even further. And that's why this episode, I think, was one of the best episodes of Outlander this season. Cool. But my last great, and this is the real great, oh, that final shot.
Ooh.
Of Malva's shoes.
Tiptoeing up.
The tiptoe. Mm. And not just the tiptoe, but having the Stugats to just stay on those shoes. Like for a good 15 seconds. And being like, this girl is straight up Dakota Fanning weird. Like there's no turning back now. Like. I think she might even surpass Dakota Fanning. She is just in her own level now. It's just now she's just Malva weird.
She is.
Just straight up Malva weird now. Yep. Like we're gonna have to change the rating system for how weird
for
she
weird
is.
People? Okay.
For like weird people. You're gonna be like, you're Malva weird guy. Like okay. That was my good, my bad, and my great.
Love it.
So that's that.
I do want to give a caveat, a little note to friends. So, episode 603, very much aligned with the books. Episode 604, very much not so.
Really?
So,
oh.
This is our biweekly announcement that if you are a book reader and you want to geek out with some fellow book readers, you're going to want to make sure that you're in our exclusive Facebook community, the Outlander Cast Clan Book Club, because our wonderful friend Angela Hickey is going to be doing her biweekly analysis of the shows from a book reader's perspective. It is a live chat about the Beehive adaptation chat. So it's this Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, and it will be on episodes 603 and 604. And as I said, there's some things that are different, and the book readers know what's different or what was highlighted and what was not highlighted, but some things are different. So if that's something that you're interested in, and if you can't make it live, it is saved and recorded. So make sure that you join. We would love to have you there. And that being said, the show is the show in this podcast. And especially because Blake hasn't read the books, we do make this a spoiler-free thing. And I often just say interesting a lot.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Mary, I kind of want to talk about the cold open. It's just Ian there. And opening up with him and what that was and like picking the hair out of his head and doing the whole, every time something got picked, I was like, ow. Like this episode did such an incredible job with getting you, the viewer, into Ian's perspective in so many different levels. We already mm-hmm. talked about the wolf amulet, but did you feel anything in particular about the open?
Yes. In particular, I loved how he was being addressed as my son. And you keep you have to keep reminding yourself that Ian has been adopted now essentially twice, you know? So he's saying, my son, every drop of your white blood has been washed by your veins. You're now tied to this great family. You have nothing to fear from us. And just to know that Ian has now not only left Scotland mm-hmm. and left Jenny and Ian, his father, Ian has now left Jamie and Claire, pretty much his adopted, you know, granted his aunt and uncle, but they've been taking care of him this entire time. He's gone through all that trauma with Galus. We need to keep that fresh in our memories, what Ian has recently gone through within the past couple of years. And now here he is trying to learn this language, trying to assimilate into this culture. And he is being told, you are now our family. And you have nothing to fear from us. And if you are a show watcher and not a book reader, and you do not watch episodes twice, I'm going to implore you to watch this one twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you didn't know what happens to Ian until after the episode unfurls. So when you watch that opening now, knowing that he is kicked out with 3 days food, get out of here.
See you later.
You know,
go figure it out.
Your white non-Mohawk sperm ain't doing it. Okay. Can't handle the maze
not
of Emily's cervix.
Not my problem.
Like, no, get out. And they will, you know, you'll do just fine back with your folk. To know that he was given this speech, you know, using the blood, you know, like all of these different terms that we almost hear echoed, the blood of my blood, like all of this
bone
stuff.
Of my bone,
it just hits you differently.
So
I wanted to just note that what was said to him really punches you in the gut when you know what happens.
This is something, Mary, and I kind of want to build on what you said. It's something that Outlander is doing this season, I think, very well, which is something that one of the shows that we cover, This Is Us, does exceptionally well, which is reference its own mythos, like reference its own story, and it trusts the viewer to know what they're talking about. And in a show like This Is Us, when we talk about it on This Is Us too, you know, it's that show is especially difficult because it has, not only does it have multiple characters, it has multiple storylines, and it has multiple timelines within those storylines with all the different characters. It's like a sprawling mess, but a beautiful sprawling mess.
Yes.
One that is a very finely balanced mess.
Yes.
Outlander is not as sprawling, but it is capable, and it certainly has its own story mythos. And the fact that we have so many references in not only in this episode but last episode too, you know, when with Fergus talking about how we grew up in the brothels and the m'lady and the whole thing. And in this episode, not only do we have Ian referring back to when he was, you know, back in season, you know, 4 or whatever it was when he came back, but we also have we have a mention of the Bakra. We have the flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone thing. We have Jamie referencing Faith. And for a person who's not watching that intently, they're going to be like, okay, the Bakra, what? Like, they're going to flesh my, they're not going to catch these things. No. But for nerds like us, and for the nerds who are watching us right now, the fact that the team is pulling from that story is a really special thing. It shows faith in its viewers, and I don't mean that in the name faith. It shows,
you know,
trust.
It's funny because as you talk about This Is Us, I was reminded a lot about This Is Us. And for those of you who don't watch the show, I'm spoiling things, but Uncle Nicky can move on with a love interest when he finds out his old love interest is married and, you know, is busy. And in this episode of television, Ian, you know, kind of makes amends with his brother, essentially, and, you know, gives him his blessing. Like, you know, I'm happy you're with Emily and I'm happy you've got your son and it's all good. And he gives him, you know, the bracelet. And it's just interesting because in the previous episode, we saw Ian having flirtatious time with Malva.
Yeah.
And it made me think of Nicky, how once Nicky was kind of free of his past love, he kind of allowed himself to open up more to future love. And I thought of Nicky.
Yeah, right. And you know what? That's not a wrong connection. Janet here on Facebook says lots of inside baseball, in my opinion, in this episode. Yeah, lots of inside baseball in this episode, and that in that inside baseball, what that does is that
it's very Diana.
Yes, but it also it rejiggers what we're going to be doing going forward. So think of the vulnerability that Ian has and the kind of flirtatious conduct we've been getting between he and Malva. Like, what that, like, he's going to go from being rejected wholly by his family to Malva weird. Like, this kid is in a bad position. There's no winning. He's going from, like, someone who is emotionally abusive to stage five clinger. Someone to poison ivy. That's what he's going to. That is bad. He needs to run away.
So
run away, Simba.
So then we get the credits.
Run away.
And then we get Jamie and Claire with their morning sex.
Oh, yes.
Which gets interrupted by Major McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Allergies to the feline folk.
This is a great little running joke. Love it.
Greased lightning. Greased lightning.
Oh, boy. You know what?
Go grease lightning.
Tell you what.
They played that off actually pretty well.
They did.
And, you know, I just think that these intimate moments that we're having with Jamie and Claire feel just sweet and tender. And I love the little morning sex and, oh, whatever, Miss Bug will be fine to feed, you know, our house guest. It's just funny. I love being on the ridge. I love that they can hear him because that probably means he can hear them.
Sure. You know? And you know they ain't holding back. There's no holding back.
Hey, it is. It is fine. So we get to, of course, have him. And he's there still. You kind of forget he's there a little bit, but he's there because he's just delivered the guns.
Correct. Correct.
And he gets to stay, have a little food.
And this is, again, it's a fun little running joke. It reminds me almost like a poor man's Arrested Development that they just keep referencing the fact that he is
allergic.
That he's allergic to Atso.
It's lovely.
It's lovely. It's great. I love it. But it just, I like the fact that, again, the show can reference its own stuff.
And then we go from there and Jamie says goodbye to Fergus.
Oh, and this was a scene because, you know, we went from a heavy and quick jump from Fergus, who is obviously, you know, Jamie's son, mm-hmm. to Ian, who is essentially
his very close nephew who he treats like a son.
Yes. And that's a big jump. Like, just to go, okay, you know, we're cutting this one off and we're moving on.
You're going
to
go see Anjo Casta. We're going to talk about the good old days in the print shop.
But the fact of the matter is Luke Skelhas did a great thing. And that was give us a landing pad for Fergus. Mm-hmm. Give us the viewer a thing that says, oh yeah, this happened last episode. Here's your net.
Yes.
Here's your safety net. Fall into this, and then when the net bounces you back up, you're gonna be okay. And when it bounces you back up into Ian, and it was such a smart move. And it's not like Jamie is sitting there saying, "Yeah, Fergus, dude, that was rough. Luckily, I was there, huh? Yeah. Luckily, I took care of you.
We don't need that.
I balanced the scales.
Yeah.
What a special moment.
Oh.
Like, what a special way to reconsider and recontextualize mm-hmm. that moment for both of them.
This episode, and just the season in general, is just giving such beautiful depth to Jamie.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that we have had some pretty heavy topics, obviously, with the finale of the last season. And I truly appreciate this layering that we're getting of Jamie, because there are some things that are different, little tweaks here or there between the show and the books. And I'm interested to see how they're putting these characteristics into him for a reason. So we keep it in mind and we get to have those flavors of him as a father, as an uncle, as a husband. And I think it's easy for us to be swept up into the king of men,
yes.
and the soldier and the protector and the laird. That's been his previous seasons, the heartthrob.
Yes.
The sex ninja. The carefree ninja.
Sex ninja.
the warrior, you know, the brave, bold soldier. And as I said, the Laird. And to have these intimate moments have been so special. We've gotten the humor. We've gotten the tenderness that we don't usually get to see in those grand moments.
Yeah, I think the show, just like how I think it's finally figured out how to write Raja, you know, at least, or at least it's on that journey. It's on that path. I think the show has figured out how to treat Jaime as more than just, like you said, Mary, the king of men. More than just the sex appeal, more than just the thing that gets us to the sex. It's turned him into a legitimate, and not to say that he was illegitimate, but just a legitimate person.
Yeah.
You know?
Angela Hickey writes, "I feel like this is more book Jaime this season, don't you, Mary?" And I agree. And I think that it's something that show watchers have sadly missed out on, you know, where there might be moments where it was either writing or acting and complexities, and you really get to see Sam Heughan as Jaime right now. It's beautiful. And the way that he's written is beautiful. And I really appreciate it. And because of the tweaks that's been happening with Claire and her choices that she's made to self-medicate, it'll be interesting to see if and when Jaime finds out about this actions that she's taken, how he reacts. And I think that they are putting these moments into these earlier episodes to add perspective on when he finds out what Claire's been doing. That's what I think. Yeah. I think, A, we needed to flesh Jaime out a little bit more, and they're doing a darn good job. But I also think, because of the way that Claire is dabbling with dangerous stuff, that I really think it's important for us to understand these elements of his love and depth that he has for his entire family as a whole.
And something that actually happens in this episode, and which again is one of those things that's not, I mentioned This Is Us too earlier, in the last episode of This Is Us, where it was like, okay, hey, here's this thing. And it's like super on the nose. And it's like, hey, look at me. I have a sign that's saying we're doing this. This episode did not do that, and it did not – this episode of Outlander did not do that. In a specific sense, what I'm saying is there's the great parallel between Jaime and Ian, because as Ian is figuring out his own thing, Jaime is the one that's spouting the wisdom, and he's the one that's spouting the, hey, kid, it's going to be all right. We're going to take care of it. And hey, kid, you're like, we're gonna make sure that you're okay, and you can be whoever – You can be whoever you want to be. All that matters is what you are here.
Yes.
Right?
They could call you any name you want. I got loads of names.
And again, that was part of his humor that's showing up. Which
once
great.
Again, you laughed out loud
I
too.
Did. I absolutely did. But at the same time as that he is doing that, he too himself is struggling with his own dual personalities. Dual personalities that he's crafting. You know, he's either a king's man or he's a rebel. You can't be both. And he is the one that's admitting, I can't be both. And he has to come to his own conclusions. And part of that is due to Bree.
Yes.
Bree making her a part of what is happening in this episode is a special thing. But before we get into that, Marvin, we got to thank our partners. What do you think about that?
Yes, you kick it off.
All right, let's do it.
To dress like a true Scotsman, you need a kilt, and Scotland Shop are your experts on hand to help. Look no further, of course, than our friends at scotlandshop.com. So kilts come in hundreds of different tartans, fabrics, and of course, have to be made to fit you. And we know that this might seem really daunting. Scotland Shop offer virtual appointments via video call so they can talk you through how to order and help you make your measurements and what accessories and extras you might need. They even offer a clan consultation. If you can't work out, Blake, you just messed up.
Sorry, I didn't mean
so
to.
So Blake's going to take over, but I'm going to tell you a little story time, okay? So my dad is a wedding officiant. He is this beautiful mesh of Santa Claus meets Hagrid in the most wonderfully kind, sweet, genuine, loving way. And my dad is going to be officiating my brother's wedding.
Sure. Ceremony.
Even though he's already married, but like the wreath thing because of COVID. So my dad's going to wear a kilt and we need to call Scotland Shop.
Yes, we are. We're absolutely going to call Scotland Shop.
Because my dad wore a kilt when he was just at his conference down in Florida. Said it was great. It's hot down in Florida. Great place to wear a kilt.
Great breeze.
And he told us, and he likes to wear his kilt for a different reason. So scotlandshop.com is getting another call from the Larson clan.
Yes, they are. Because Mary's actually wearing one right now.
I am. It's truly what keeps me cozy, and I love it. So they're going to help you on out, and we want to make sure that you get items that you like and love. And it doesn't just have to be a kilt. I'm telling you, go to their website.
Tartans for everything.
Yes.
You get everything you could think of.
And we're going to give you a 15% off code, OutlanderCast, at checkout.
Actually, we just changed it. It's just Outlander.
Make it even easier for you.
Just Outlander. Okay, so 15% off. All right, so, Marvin, we talked. Excuse me.
Do I need to talk?
Oh, my goodness. I can't stop.
Can I say something else that I loved about this episode?
What?
So we get Ian. Ian is talking to Major McDonald about how the Cherokee are named, and Major McDonald's making fun of it, and he's like, yeah, it could be as bad as being like Donaldson O'Donald. Like, oh my gosh, that's really original. And so we get all of these. Ian brings so much depth to the Mohawk and to the Cherokee and to the different American Indian tribes that are around, and yet he is still also very religious, and he's still very Catholic, and you know, he goes to the woods to pray, and at the end Jamie and he pray together to pray that Faith meets Ian's baby heaven. And I love that they are also adding in this religious element to Jamie, because it's just such an interesting thing that his wife's a time traveler and he's got all this stuff going on,
right,
and yet he's still so strong in his faith. And for Ian to have gone through all of these traumatic instances largely by himself, not with his family. Yeah. You know, the things with Galus, not with his family. The things with the Mohawk, not with his, you know, Scottish family. And to still be able to have Jamie be able to help him be strong in his faith is so beautiful and so special to these Fraser men.
Yes, absolutely. Like, just
Murray Fraser.
What they have done, and how Ian is able to find a synthesis of the two versions of himself. You know, it's not a thesis or an antithesis. It's just two versions, and he can synthesize both versions of that for himself. And that is really special for that kind of character. When you think about Ian's reappearance into the Fraser world in season 4. But also even how this season began, Ian felt a little listless. And he felt a little like, where am I?
Didn't get to go back through time.
I know. And,
oh my God. And knowing this context and now remembering him trying to go through the stones.
Oh, to try to like do something different. Yeah. Like, oh, that's why Emily is diabolical.
In your book.
And no, just straight up diabolical.
It's a different culture, and I appreciate the 2022 mindset that you have.
Yes.
But I will give insight. They don't clearly state in the show how many children she lost.
That's true. Good point.
And they lost, and they lost a lot of children.
Sure.
Just saying.
Hey, notice that Ian, what I'm saying is, notice that at the beginning of this season, Ian is in a place where he's listless and he doesn't understand who he is, his place, where he wants to be, but he knows he always has a home with Uncle Jamie.
Yes.
And that is what keeps him around. But in this episode, we end it with him saying, I thought I had to make a choice, but I really don't. I can be happy with both. And Jamie even says to him, it doesn't even matter what anybody calls you. I've been called 50 million things
Dumb
in my
Bonnet,
life. Yeah.
Red Jamie.
Whatevs. All
McDo.
Of them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Masochist.
He's got 15 million different names, 15 million different identities. He's like, it doesn't matter.
Grease
whatever,
lightning.
Whatever you are. It's in here.
Duh.
And you're just going to keep going, aren't you? You're just going to keep going. It's fine.
Jamp.
And I like that not only did this season, but this episode had a great arc for Ian. And now going forward, again, the middle part of this season is what is the pivot point for all of our characters, including Ian, including Jamie, including Weird Malva. And I think soon to be, because Weird Malva is being Weird Malva, for Tom Christie, for Claire, like, you just get the heebie-jeebies what's coming from that.
Okay.
So.
I got some good news.
What?
Roger finally hit a target.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh my God. Bree's enthusiasm for Roger finally hitting a target and saying, you've been practicing, was essentially the same amount of enthusiasm Jamie gave Bree when she said, look, Dad, I can make fire.
It's like.
More like Marcelly. It's like Flint.
Yeah, so you did something that we already got.
But Bree's just standing there like, you're practicing. I could tell.
And poor Roger. Roger's like.
He is so proud of himself.
So happy.
He's a millennial in training. Like, give me my trophy.
I need.
My participation trophy.
The trophy that I'm going to get from this is amazing. Okay. That's what he's thinking.
Bree in her side braid. Giving me all the Elsa vibes.
Oh, wait.
Let it go.
Is this a wig? This feels like a wig.
Yeah, okay. That is some.
Okay.
That's some.
There's the Elsa that's coming out of that hair.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Let it go.
Just might as well just keep walking
Can't
around.
Can't hold me back anymore. I'm going to give you up details. Oh, I'm going to tell you who's going to do it. It's in 60 years. This is how many people go. This is how many people die. This is the name of it. And Dad gives it his own little remix. Doesn't call it the Trail of Tears.
Yeah, no. He just says something else.
I think he said the Trail of Sorrow or...
Yeah, whatevs. You know what Jamie did? He just did a Stats for Nerds.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
I don't want this written down.
Yeah.
But my daughter, my wife, they kind of see into the future. So here is our time traveling segment.
Well, no, we're not ready for that.
When am I?
We're not ready for that. We got things to talk about still.
This isn't the ending. This is when I want to do it.
Oh, this is when you want to do it.
I want to do it right now because it's about the stop.
Oh, so it's not like a process thing. No. It's just whenever you feel like it, that's when we're doing it. So it's like a spur of the moment.
Yeah.
A spur of the moment segment.
You have to be on your toes to push that button.
All right. Well, you know what? I've fully produced a brand new segment just before this episode began. Yep. And here is our brand new sound of fully produced. What do we call it? I think we should call it Back to the Future.
Okay.
That's what we're going to call it, Back to the Future. All right, here we go.
Doc, you better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Okay, guys. Ready?
All right, what do you got? Explain the segment, but for those who are just joining us.
Okay, so... this segment in Outlander Cast is taken from the fact that obviously a bunch of these people are from the future and they know things about the future. So I'm going to ask Blake, if you were this person,
okay,
or if you had this choice or this foresight, what kind of a decision would you have made?
All right.
So this is kind of like next door. So we're not taking Bree. We're taking Jamie. So Bree has just told Jamie all the facts about what's going to be happening. Would you, as Jamie, have made the same choice of telling the Cherokee what he told them?
Telling them?
Yeah.
Like telling the Cherokee.
What Jamie just did. Hey, we're friends. I need to give you a heads up. You need to pass this down through your kids and let everybody know. Yep. I'm not telling everybody, but I'm telling you. And I'm going to tell you who. I'm going to tell you when. I'm going to tell you this made up different name. What of that would you have done and would you have not done?
Why do you think
Jamie changed the name? Because he could remember other stuff.
Good question. I probably would have done the same thing. I would have done the same thing. Because what do I care?
So why would you tell him, and why would you make the choice that you're like, but I'm not gonna tell everybody.
Because I think Jamie's wording, and I think Jamie's reasoning is the right way all around, because if he went and told somebody else this thing, they'd be like, bro, don't do any more peyote.
Why do you think this is different?
Because
why do you think him telling
I think Jamie did Chief Bird a solid, and knowing that there's now a rapport and knowing that he just wants to help, I think As a leader of men and women, and as a leader of people, one leader can speak to another and say, this is the thing that happened. And like my wife said this, and I think as a leader of people, you could be open to this idea.
Yeah.
And especially for someone who, you know, in the Cherokee tribe who believe in things that are outside of our realm that mm-hmm. we see and that we normally see, mm-hmm. I think he'd be a little bit more open to that idea.
Okay.
So I would say yes, I would.
I'm surprised that you, Blake Larson, would.
Yeah, well, you know what it is?
Because you usually come from the whole, like, I don't care about anybody else.
Yeah, but if I had specific information that, like, I knew was going to happen, like, I know it's going to happen.
I mean, Elsa Brie, like, just told you.
Think of it, like, in Back to the Future terms, like, when he gets the sports almanac. Like, mm-hmm. I know that Alabama's going to win that game. Even though everybody's telling me, no, they ain't going to win. They're going to win in the final seconds with a field goal. I know that this is going to happen. And what does it take for me to tell this guy, hey, watch out? What does it take? It just takes a couple breaths.
I'm really proud of you.
And like, and he wants to create a good relationship so mm-hmm. that when he's given him the guns,
yeah.
he can turn around and say, hey, whoa, I helped you out. I helped you out. I gave you some information. Don't go gunning for me. I gave you that info. Why don't we chill? And I think that is how I would frame that for myself. Like, it's self-serving. So, yeah, I want to help him out, and I want to give him the I want to give him the information.
So Jamie knows that you can't change the past.
Yes.
They didn't win at Culloden. All these things that Bree's saying, that Bree and Claire are saying. So, does Jamie really think that he's going to make a difference or a change?
No, I think Jamie is giving Chief Bird he's empowering Chief Bird to make a choice.
Here you go. Read Angela Hickey's comment, please.
Angela says, historical fact, Chief Bird was a real chief, and his tribe was one that hid his tribe in the mountains to escape the Trail of Tears. All right, there you go. So, does that change the overall?
Does the Trail of Tears not happen? No.
No.
It still does.
It just changes. Again, I like when shows maneuver themselves in realms that aren't so big that, like, in historical terms, that aren't so big that if they push themselves into the history,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, well, if that's truly historically accurate, we would have heard of it.
Kind of like the famine, and when Claire tells Jenny, you want to plant some potatoes.
Yes.
Potatoes.
So was it reasonable to assume someone like Jenny would have had the forethought to plant potatoes ahead of the game? Yeah, because that didn't change the course of history. It just it was a decision that someone made and was empowered to make for themselves, as is what Jamie is doing for Chief Bird. Jamie gives Chief Bird the information to empower him to make a choice. And does that choice change the course of history? Maybe, maybe not. But at least he gives him the information to make his own path.
What I loved about it too is as Jamie's having the conversation with Bree, he says, I know what governments are capable of. And, you know, he knows what was done to the Scots, you know,
sure.
obliterated them and got rid of their culture and sent them away. So as Bree is describing this to him, Jamie's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know what that's like. And so he's having that, and he's having these conversations with his nephew. And I agree with you, Blake. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Ian, rubbing his little sex bracelet. The mark of a man whose cherry's been properly propped.
That's what she said. Rubbing his sex bracelet.
I love it. She's like, you're going to wear this and remember the night we banged.
You know what? Not wrong.
Good for you. Imagine that.
Just knowing your role.
You a virgin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. You are. I'm not. And then he has to give his brother back his sex bracelet.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
I know it's not that way.
No,
but
it's
in the
not.
Show.
But that's the way it kind of came off.
Oh. In a very romantic, sweet, lovely way.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. I need to say the sex scene with Ian and Emily. I would have wanted a bracelet after that.
Well, who wouldn't have?
I mean, that I would have felt like it was a bracelet.
That was.
Holy smokes.
That was some.
That gave well Jamie shot. And Claire a run for their money.
It definitely did. It definitely did. Jamie and Claire, there was like four sex scenes, and I will definitely say this was the best one out of all of them.
Ian making love with sheer love on his face was so reminiscent of season one, Jamie Claire, sex in the grass. Is this how it feels for everybody? I mean, just well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. And Emily, gorgeous, stunning. So glad I'm not an actor or actress that has to have sex on TV.
No.
I would not do well at that.
You know what? The good thing is, as quickly as this all transpired, I bought that relationship.
Oh, no. My husband tells better jokes when he's drunk.
Yes, absolutely.
Why don't you just get up and sing, darling?
Yeah, like...
Sing us a wee tune.
Oh, you can't get... Again... These are all the little things of texture that create the tapestry of what we're trying to watch. These little details. Oh, my husband is better when he's drunk. You know, like, get there, tell the story, and Ian not being able to do all the words, and he has to sing, and the singing voice is great. And all of these things just work so beautifully in this episode and have been working so beautifully in this season of Outlander. There seems like a greater attention to character in this season. And I think in last season, but especially this season, there seems like a greater attention to character. Because in seasons past, we've been so focused on plot. And like, plot, 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 plot. We got to get here. We got to get there. We got to do this. We got to do that. And ironically enough, this season is the shortest season yet... It's covering one of the larger books, and I'm getting the most character out of the season.
Can I break something to you?
What?
It's not really covering one of the larger books.
Oh, well, I thought it was like a mixture.
A lot of this book was in last television season.
Oh,
a lot of this book.
Okay, fair enough. See, that's what happens when I talk about things that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
We all do. We will just say interesting to you.
I'm surprised at how much time they're giving to character for a show that has been so dedicated to, we need to get to X, Y, and Z. And damn the torpedoes, we're getting to X, Y, and Z. You know, like, I'm happy with the direction that it's going. And again, to use Ian as the central pivot point for the entire show, for this season, that's a bold move. That's some Stugatz.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it is.
Jamie's a Taurus man. He's got to stick to his family. And I loved the conversations that... I know that there's other people in this episode, but let's be real. It comes down to Jamie and Ian.
Sure.
When Ian's talking with Jamie and he's saying, is it my fault that the baby's gone? And they have this great conversation about, you know, how the baby wasn't baptized. Didn't even get to see the baby. And Jamie really talks in depth about how he never got to see Faith and how God doesn't punish. He is gracious and merciful. And how he feels about Faith being lost as well. And the scene is just so gorgeous. I know you played it.
Yeah.
But where they just kneel down and pray together actively. People are walking around, making new canoes, and they are actively praying that their daughters find each other in heaven.
Yeah. Oh, and notice too that Ian does not make the sign of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jamie does.
Mm.
So just a fun little tidbit for you to consider. Yeah, just food for thought.
Yeah.
Something to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. Maybe Ian is finding his own path. Because like when his daughter was really when his daughter was in question, or when his child was in question, what did he do? He went to pray in the woods, but he was saying Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, when he's away from all of that, and he's come to a recognition of who he wants to be, or at least is on the path to that, he doesn't fall back to that. He just does his own thing. Just a really smart choice. A really smart choice, either by the actor or by the writer.
Okay. So I know you're hating on Emily, but I got to say, she made a smart choice in the glow up that Harrowton got.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Big glow up.
Hello. I mean, you were hot to begin with, and you just got hotter. He has the best accessories.
Oh, the blue.
Got the blue feathers.
Oh,
got
man.
The red coat. Yep. Got the skunk scarf that you know. He was like, I'm not afraid of no skunk.
Yeah, we'll take care of
that. I got that. That's going to look great on my outfit.
The color contrast.
Oh, my gosh. Such a bold outfit. And I love how he stands out, because obviously the Mohawk and Cherokee cultures are very different. But in general, he just... stunning actor. His acting abilities have grown tremendously.
Sure,
I'm so happy that he was featured in this episode. It was beautiful, especially because so much of these scenes were, like you were saying, desaturated.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was interesting to see this fresh, new, what Emily might see as a Mohawk stud, which he was. He is.
I'm not going to lie. Good looking man.
I love Ian. I love Ian, okay? But I always felt like Pocahontas in the Disney movie made the wrong choice. Okay, yeah. You got this man who loves you, who's going to work well with you, and you pick John Smith.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, well, it's
how'd that work out for
Mel
you?
Mel Gibson, you know, that's How the thing.
How did that work out for
Mel
you,
Mel Gibson Pocahontas? At the time, like...
Oh, before he went cray?
Before he went cray-cray?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, Mel Gibson at that time. This is like right around Braveheart time.
Ian giving his uncle's pistol.
Yeah,
you stole my woman, but you got her pregnant. You're living happily ever after. I've been a mess, but I want you to do the right thing. This is the best pistol.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know how to do it. You don't. Yeah. You haven't heard the 10 dual commandments. Lin-Manuel isn't stuck in your Lin-Manuel isn't stuck in your head like all of us. Number one.
Yeah.
You know, like, sorry, buddy.
The one thing I will say is that the fight scene with Ian
Jumanji,
the
fight scene with his brother
and his brother,
Keheraton, yeah, which I'm mispronouncing.
Sure,
but
definitely.
I'm trying.
This is why you don't actively try to figure out what the pronunciation is in mid podcast, because you just we both sound awful when we say it. I think I was kind of disappointed in that fight scene. It felt very staged, and it felt almost like disjointedly directed. Like they almost didn't know.
The Ian fight?
Yeah, the Ian fight. Like they almost didn't know how to shoot it. And it reminded me of the movie Taken. You know, because like Liam Neeson's old, right? And he can't do all the things.
I mean, he thinks he can.
Yeah, but he can't.
Because he's got the biggest schlong in Hollywood. Google it. We've had it confirmed.
Oh, wait.
Oh, my God.
Don't say it like that.
Not me, not you, but two people I know have had that schlong. Two people. I know two real life people.
That's true, actually.
The longest schlong in Hollywood.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my goodness gracious,
Mary. I mean, who needs six, what is it about Kevin Bacon?
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say 6 inches of Kevin Bacon.
Where's Fergus's dildo hand when we need it? Okay, so how did we get on Liam Neeson?
Oh, Liam Neeson, because...
Google it, friends.
In the movie Taken, because he's old and he can't do the things, they have to shoot, like, parts of a fight.
Okay.
And then they have to have, like, 16 different cuts in order to make the fight look like it's actually a fight. So they cut real fast. And like for someone like The Bourne Identity, when that first kind of came out, and that feeling of what that fight scene could feel like with that really hectic, in your face jump cut, that was a artistic choice.
Okay.
With Taken, it was like, we need to do this because Liam Neeson can't do the thing. So for him to jump a fence, it's at least 3 or 5 different cuts of him jumping a fence. The same thing I felt like in this fight with Ian.
At the end, I'm going to tell you the 7 biggest schlongs in Hollywood. I can only say that I know. Confirmed.
Oh,
one of these.
Yeah.
Oh, I probably know someone who's had that.
You definitely have.
I know.
You definitely
Not
have.
Not me, once again. Okay, well, I'm going to do some research. Continue.
So
you're talking about combat and awkwardness.
You know what? I just lost.
Everyone's
Googling. Now that you're talking about schlongs and
you want to know what made me think about
what
a high school boy fight. So I didn't see it as
true.
Awkward angling. I watched a lot of high school boy fights in my public school days.
Mary, you know what you got to just keep doing every episode?
What?
Just keep drinking.
Just going to get covered in Drambuie every episode. Maybe it'll make my jaw hurt less. I know why my jaw isn't hurting. It's not because of Liam Neeson.
Kathy.
That would make your jaw hurt. If anyone complains, you can't be a prude if you watch Outlander. You can Malva me all you want. Mary, talking about schlongs. Okay, Malvas. Okay, let's talk Malva.
My God.
Your jaw would hurt. I don't even know how you would do it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Malva.
Mary.
We're pivoting, Blake. I'm bringing you back to life.
I can't come back from that. All right, that's it, ladies and gents.
Pretty real?
Yeah, that's
you'll have to tune in to listener end. Feedback. I killed Blake. I'm so sorry, Allison Fisher's mom. Wait, are we really done?
No, we're not done.
Okay, come on, Malva was wishing. Oh. She was wishing and hoping and dreaming and praying.
Jesus Christ, Mary.
That Claire had a Ouija board. Somewhere.
This whole episode is just gone.
That Claire's therapist was the only therapist I can find in the state of Rhode Island.
We've gone straight banana land.
Witch. It's the devil's work. It's like you just brought him back to life after he died. What are you writing there while you draw weird, weird pictures, Claire, of toes?
Toes. And you know she's in on the toe thing.
Foot fetish.
She's weird Malva. Of course she's in on toes.
Oh, yeah, she probably is. She's in on all sorts of things.
It's Malva weird.
So she first off wishes that they were spells, but she is enchanted by it. Oh. She loves the ether.
Oh, of course she is. Of course
she's
she
looking
does.
Looking at it. Hmm.
Malva's idea of a great night is some toes, some ether, and looking at porn. That's like her favorite thing in the world right now.
You know what's so funny is we're all like, ew, Malva, stop watching them have sex. And we've watched them have sex twice within an hour. And watched Wee Ian. For everyone who's like, he's like my son. Yeah, well, your son's probably doing it too. Good for him.
Oh, my God.
I'm happy all these young people are having sex. Good for you.
Good for you.
You don't have bills. You don't have your own house. You have energy to have sex every day, all day. Claire and Jamie's kids are grown up.
Oh my God.
They're grease lightning. I don't go for it.
Mary.
Don't need Viagra.
Liam Neeson doesn't need Viagra, I'll tell you that.
He probably does.
Well, a lot of blood flow. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. What did we do?
I don't know. What did we do?
Okay. I don't know. So, Malva, the end.
All right. Yeah. You've killed me. You've literally killed me.
They try out ether on Lizzie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Lizzie and goes to sleep. Good night.
Kezzy?
I can't tell the difference between the two.
I wrote it in
I don't know
notes.
Who she's talking to. I don't know who she's flirting with. If one of them's Josiah, if one of them's Kezzy. Is she supposed to be with Kezzy? Is she supposed to be with Josiah? Who's the one that Malva is like kind of flirting with and Lizzie shuts it down? I don't know. I can't tell. I'm out.
Oh.
I'm out on Josiah and Kezzy.
Why?
Josiah. Because I can't tell which one's which. I can't tell. I know she's hedging her bets. I get it. But like.
Interesting, Blake. Very interesting.
It's just like the same thing. Like, what are we doing?
Not Liam.
Not Liam. That would hurt. All right. Anything else you got to talk about? Because you've officially killed me, and I don't know how I'm going to recover tonight.
That's all I got. I deleted my notes by accident while you were dying.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes.
So we are going to be having our listener feedback episode. So don't forget, call, leave a voicemail. We only had 3 of you call.
Yeah, I'm surprised
That's
at
it.
That.
Now,
yeah.
Granted, you only get 90 seconds, so you probably want to practice it once or twice. Okay. You need to say your name.
Yes.
Let us know where you're from.
And then go to
and
town.
Then land the plane.
Oh, all right.
Okay, you ready? Yeah. Top biggest schlongs. Liam Neeson. I can't. Ewan McGregor. Really? I'd be down. I would be down.
Sure you would. Okay? I know. He's your
Come
style.
What may. You do. Colin Farrell. Believe it. William Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Well, with a
I
face
know him.
Like with a face like that, you gotta.
I know him. I probably know people. James Woods. Yeah, definitely know people from Rhode Island because he's like down the road.
Yep.
I bumped into him. Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Surprising.
He's a weirdo.
Hey,
he's not Malvo weird, but he's weird.
Probably could do tricks. Watch the snake. Don Johnson. And honorable mention was Milton Berle.
Oh, really?
Honorable mention.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder what demarcation was.
Bernie's wing was so large that comedian Phil Silvers once snuck a peek while taking a leak and said, "You'd better feed that thing or it's liable to turn on you."
Oh, man.
There you go.
Oh, man. How?
Amy just joined in for the schlong countdown. You're welcome, Amy.
Yes. Yep.
That's what happens when
Mary's
I'm on 30 pills of medicine and I just decided
Drambuie.
To put Drambuie in my tea. Not the best suggestion.
Oh, okay. Man. All right.
Oh, Mom to Muses on YouTube says there's a video of William Dafoe dancing naked.
Oh, really?
Look it up. No.
Wow.
Terry, we have not lost it. We're just sick and in pain.
And so many drugs in us that we're just a basic, well, at least Mary, she's a walking CVS.
That's okay.
That's where she's at.
Okay, Malva Weird.
Carrie says, "What will Lou say?" If you listen to the listener feedback for 603, you'll understand Lou, that Lou reference.
Okay.
Oh, man. Okay, here we go. All right. Now that we've just told all our audience to leave us and go watch Willem Dafoe on YouTube.
I didn't.
All right. Let's close this bad boy out, shall we? Marvin?
Beth, my first legal drink. Beth Saggio says, "Mary, please drink Drambuie." I am drinking Drambuie, and it was actually my first legal drink. My dad drove to my dorm at 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And gave me Drambuie. You do not want Drambuie at 5:30 in the morning.
No, you do not. All right. Actually, I got an outlandish theory for you.
Oh, okay.
You ready for it?
Yes, we are.
Right, and
collective book readers, we will just say interesting.
All right. This outlandish theory is brought to you by WeBox. WeBox is a monthly subscription gift box that's designed to share Scotland with Scots and Scots at heart all over the world. All over the world, Mary.
I love WeBox so much.
All over. Every WeBox is carefully curated around a monthly theme with 5 bonny gifts and treats, which are often exclusive or can't be bought outside of Scotland. The contents of each WeBox are worth so much more than you can pay for it, and it supports Scottish businesses, craftsmanship, its environment, and charities as well. Visit WeBox.com and use the code OUTLANDER for 10% off your code at checkout. I mean,
oh my god, I'm so excited. I just saw one of the things that's going to be included, and it's going to be a Scottish thistle sun catcher.
Oh,
go to Inside WeBox's Instagram, follow them. They're so stinking cute. And my lovely friends at the Outlander Cast Clan Book Club, the Beehive, have sent us some WeBoxes because of our losses and the hardships that we have faced. And they have been such amazing, amazing gifts. I've actually been using the Highland Cow hot water bottle holder for my jaw pain and my ear pain. So it's great. I have something from WeBox on me or near me every single day.
At all times.
Yes.
Somehow, some way. So yeah, go to WeBox.com. And if you sign up, you get 10% off of your subscription. Yeah, I can talk today. With the checkout, at checkout with the discount code Outlander. Blake, get through the read, will you?
WeBox,
get
discount
through the read.
Code Outlander.
Thank you. All right, people at WeBox are wicked happy with this read today. All right, so here is my...
I talked about how much I love it.
No, I'm sick, but they're going to be disappointed in me because I can't read today. Because Mary killed me. So here's my outlandish theory. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Weird Malva. I feel like every outlandish theory I have surrounds Malva.
I love it.
It's because she's so freaking weird that like it has to be about her, right?
Okay.
Something tells me that she is gonna get her way with somebody.
She wants to see who has the longest schlong on the bridge.
I think so. And it's going to be with either Josiah, because one of them two.
One of the Beardsley twins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the thing.
Maybe she'll write her own book and draw her own diagrams.
Yeah. Well, they're weird toes.
Not toes.
Not, definitely not
That's
toes.
That's not a toe.
But here's the thing. I wonder. Oh, are you ready for this? This is going to be heartbreaking.
Blake, I've been waiting for you. Yeah.
What? Here's going to be heartbreaking. Okay. She's going to, you know, do her thing with one of the
Beardsley
brothers.
Twins?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is.
Yeah.
She's not going to say that it was one of them that did it.
Okay.
She's going to say it was Ian.
Okay.
And she's going to get Ian in trouble because there was like this flirtatious thing. And it's going to be, the irony in all of it is that Ian is going to be blamed for a pregnancy.
I was going to say, all I did was pick cattails.
I didn't do anything. She didn't pick my cattail.
Like a cucumber and a corn. Great torch.
Because she's watching Jamie and Claire do the thing, now she knows what to do, and she's going to get herself involved. She's already getting herself involved with one of the Beardsley kids, but then we have this whole thing with Ian and how he was supposed to have a kid but won't have the kid, and he's getting himself involved with Malva, and maybe he's going to get involved with Malva, and she's going to say it's his kid. It's going to be straight up banana land. And Tom Christie is going to come walking into this
with
house.
His miracle hand.
And he's going to say, we're going to deal with your boy Ian over here. He's going to say, bye, Ian. And that's going to be a big problem for Jamie.
Oh, man.
And that is what is going to happen. That will be the thrusting move, if you will, for the remainder of this season.
And all book readers right now have a collective interest.
Just throwing that out there. I can already see it percolating. I can see it simmering. The blood is bubbling. I can feel it. All right, ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 dual commandments.
We want to give a huge thanks to Anna in Springfield, who said on Apple Podcasts, I'm finally writing a review, even though I've listened to the podcast for years. I enjoy listening to Mary and Blake cough so much, they've started listening to other shows they've made. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much, Anna, and thank you all who've taken the time. Once again, leaving a rating and review in any podcast app is really helpful, but especially the Apple Podcast one. Even if that's not the one you listen to, those reviews go a super duper long way, and they are a warm hug most of the time in my heart. And other times, they are just good, helpful criticism. So thank you.
If you thought that I was going to leave this episode without playing the 10 Dual Commandments, you're on Mars. Like, you might as well just go away, because... How could you not play this? How could you?
Go for it, man.
Oh, just be happy, Mary, knowing that you almost killed me today. Like, I was coughing so hard that I almost puked. It took all my concentration not puke live on our podcast.
Given the Oscars a run for its live money.
Oh, man.
Yep. Okay, so.
That would have been a talked about moment. That would have been a Mary and Blake Media Hall of Fame moment if I puked on air. Which was, it almost happened. Almost happened. Oh, man. Yeah, you know what?
What?
Just let this ride.
Okay, I'm Mary.
No, I was going to say, I was going to let it ride. That's fine. That's fine.
The whole time?
No, not the whole time.
Oh, my God, because I'm like, there's 10, Blake.
Actually, we're
Thank
at the end
so
of the song.
Much.
There we go.
My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.